From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block. Congress and the White House are moving toward increasing the so-called death gratuity given to families of servicemen and women killed in combat. The administration's budget proposal pledges to raise the death benefit from about $12,000 to $100,000. The proposal would also expand life insurance coverage. Across the country, families of those killed in combat welcome the move as they work to rebuild lives devastated by loss. Today, as part of our ongoing series, The Span of War, we bring you the story of widow Denise Marshall of Hinesville, Georgia. Her husband, Sergeant First Class John Marshall of the 3rd Infantry Division, was killed in combat near Baghdad in early April of 2003. He had volunteered for a daring resupply mission into Baghdad just as the Iraqi regime was crumbling. Now, 22 months after her husband's death, Denise Marshall is struggling to raise their three children, and she feels largely forgotten by the army her late husband served. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
It's late afternoon at Denise Marshall's modest ranch-style home in Hinesville. Her three teenage kids are here, and the small children she watches at her home daycare center are heading out.
Okay, be careful then.
The youthful vitality here belies struggle and grief. In the living room, there's a big shelf filled with stuffed animals and the family's favorite videos and DVDs. Nearby sit her husband John's silver and bronze stars, awarded posthumously along with a Purple Heart. On a top shelf next to a ceramic eagle sits the American flag, neatly folded inside a wooden shadow box. It's the flag that covered her husband's coffin before his burial, with full military honors at Arlington National Cemetery.
If I had the foresight to know now, I would have kept my husband at home. If I had known, oh no. Because this is a lot, you know. It's not just physically draining, but it's mentally and emotionally draining because these kids expect you to be their pillar of strength. If you fall apart, so do they. So some semblance of inner strength has to be maintained all the time.
For Denise, that strength seems a mix of stoicism and optimism. It's kept her going since that day in April 2003 when her life was turned upside down. Denise met John in his native Los Angeles in the early 1980s. He'd recently left the military he had joined at age 18 to take on a different fight, cancer. And after a five-year successful battle against Hodgkin's lymphoma, John rejoined the military he loved and returned to active duty. In 2002, he could have retired with full benefits. Instead, he decided once again to stay Army.
That's all he thought about doing, so I went along with it.
Sergeant First Class John Marshall ended up a platoon sergeant with a unit of the 3rd ID's 315th Infantry. On April 8th, after the division's 2nd Brigade's armored rush into central Baghdad, they were in desperate need of supplies. Sergeant Marshall volunteered for the dangerous mission. During an ambush in southern Baghdad on Highway 8, an Iraqi rocket-propelled grenade blew Sergeant Marshall from the turret of his Humvee. Denise recalls a visit from a warrant officer in her husband's unit who said John was leading the fight against Iraqi forces with his Mark 19 grenade launcher when the rocket struck him.
He says, you know, ma'am, he says, your husband was taking him out. He was rocking and rolling. He says he showed us what we needed to be, you know, aiming for. And said he opened up fire and he gave out their location. He says, so they had to take him out. That's a legacy for his kids, you know, a detailed accounting of what happened. Not just, oh, well, I saw his body part laying by the road. That's what most of the eyewitness put down about how what part of him they saw laying here or what part of him they saw laying there.
In the confusion of combat, 3rd ID soldiers couldn't find Marshall's body. They had to move on or risk the vital resupply mission. Soldiers from the 101st Airborne Division found what remained of Sergeant Marshall's body in a shallow grave days later. He was 50. One of the oldest U.S. combat casualties of the Iraq War. Now, 22 months after his death, Denise and their three kids in Hinesville are still trying to cope with the financial and emotional fallout. The couple combined two families when they married. The three kids they had together are still at home. Since her husband's death, she's had to tend to all the parenting and even home repair challenges on her own.
I had no idea how expensive it was going to be. to try to have a house and kids and manage everything without John around. There is an extremely wide void that has to be filled. I found out there were so many things I didn't know how to do, which, I mean, I never had to do it. We had to hire people for everything because we had no idea.
A series of physical and mental hurdles have made the job even harder. Denise has a debilitating eye problem that leaves her highly sensitive to light and unable to drive. And to make matters worse, Denise recently fell and broke her ankle in three places. She's now using a wheelchair to get around her house. Her 15-year-old son, Kevin, suffers from depression, has asthma, and is socially withdrawn. Her 16-year-old son, Richard, has a severe sleep disorder and suffers night tremors. And the two children need medical care that often takes them hours outside of small-town Hinesville. Transportation is a big, expensive problem. She says she's tried to get help from several agencies, the Red Cross and others, and all turned her down. Her doctor, a social worker, and a hospital examiner, she says, all agree that she now needs a nurse's aide to help out at home. But Humana Military Healthcare Services and its parent TRICARE have repeatedly declined her request.
The question that I like the most is when they get me on the phone and they say, well, what about your husband? And I'm like, you know, are you reading what's on the screen in front of you? I said, well, you know, if he hadn't gone to Iraq, I said, he might actually be able to help us with some of this. I said, but he didn't make it back, okay? You're pretty much on your own. And that's what makes it really difficult. There's no family here, okay? People say, you know, well, what about family? What about friends? What about church? That sounds good. But in reality, it's a little different from what it sounds. I would love to say that people are breaking down our doors to lend a hand, but that's not the case.
Finally, last week, after Denise had fired off letters to her congressman, Georgia Republican Representative Jack Kingston's office knocked on her door. His staff helped arrange for transportation for a hospital visit, which Denise calls a lifesaver. But that was one time. Long term, Marshall says, she's not sure what she'll do. My husband used to tell me, the Army takes care of its own, Denise says, with a rare hint of bitterness. She still lives in Hinesville, just a few minutes from Fort Stewart's gates. But she feels like she might as well be a world away. The casualty assistance officer assigned to Denise was a big help with funeral arrangements, paperwork, and support. But that was months ago. He's now back in Iraq with the division. And Denise says she feels largely forgotten by the soldiers and officers in John's unit.
The unit doesn't send us a card. They don't call us. Nothing. Do you have to sit around and hold our hand? No, you don't. But it was been common courtesy for someone there. I don't care if it was the battalion. I don't care if it was a company. I don't care if it was just someone in charge of a platoon. Someone could have said, Sergeant Marshall's wife is still here. Let's drop her a card. Or let's call and see how she and the kids are getting along.
Despite a feeling of isolation and repeat run-ins with the Army's medical bureaucracy, Denise is a hopeful, upbeat woman. And she was elated when she heard that Congress and the White House might raise the death benefit from $12,000 to $100,000, making the payments retroactive to all those killed in Afghanistan and Iraq. Money and the message behind it, she says, are more than welcome.
I almost jumped for joy when I saw that on the internet. Because I was like, God, I said, you know, somebody finally realized that the soldiers and their families do have a value to them. Somebody finally realized that when that soldier's gone, we are not just his family members. We are casualties of war also. I said, God, I said, I'm glad somebody realizes that or is starting to take a look at it. That made me feel good.
The honor and pride of military service and the specter of war's consequences haven't left the Marshals. Her 28-year-old son, Chris, was recently promoted to sergeant in the Army's 10th Mountain Division. He could be deployed to Iraq. Chris, Denise Marshall says proudly, has become the son John would have wanted him to be. Eric Westervelt, NPR News.